Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Blue Abroad Show, Monday, the 10th of April, 2023. Easter Monday, for those of you who are celebrating. I hope you've had a great weekend. Whether you celebrate Easter or not, it's been a long weekend, so we're happy about that. Now, before we get started, I've got a new Williams in town. You guys are used to seeing Dan Pommy. I've got James Williams with me, who is going to join me for the show. You may know him as Cripsy TV on Twitch. It's 34,000 followers on Twitch, just a lousy, but mate, welcome to the Blue Abroad Show.
Hey, Sari, I appreciate it, mate. We're wow, what a week! And I really appreciate the invite. Of course, it's always funny when you're online. You always see people online doing amazing stuff, and you know, fan cams and all that kind of great stuff. Giving the fans an opportunity to express themselves, what their thoughts are. It's always great, and to be invited on after the week that we've just had is, it's pretty special. So thank you, mate.
It's a pleasure to have you, mate. We're going to get chatting about your week because, I don't know if I can say it was a big week. It's been a big couple of weeks, to say the least.
Yeah. Just getting it all in now, you know, just letting it all soak in and being a part of this, having a conversation here just helps that debrief discussion. Sometimes you seem to have a bit of a debrief and this might be a really good one.
Yeah, I agree. So look, what we're going to do, we're going to talk a bit about round four. We're going to do the normal review, the finalizing review, and then we really got to move on because game's on Thursday night. We don't have much time, the quick turnaround. So we're going to get into round four. We're going to get into a little bit more around the Good Friday appeal. Then we're going to get straight into the reserves, and then we're going to look ahead to round five. And before you know it, an hour's gone, and we're off to bed.
Yep, no, I like it. I think good plan, structured, ready to go.
All right. First and foremost, we're going to thank the members of the channel. Thank you very much for your ongoing support. And we'll start off as we usually do. Those of you playing along at home, three words to summarize round four while James, you and I start the conversation. What was round four for you?
Round four was special. I think is probably the word I would, if you had one word to describe it. But round four was a tale of two halves, I think. And I think you had, and I'll feature it in my votes a little later, but you had a coach who could move the magnets, did move the magnets, and made some significant changes to the team structure at half and really pulled out the best of us against a team that was fired up and ready to go and really wanted to make the Good Friday game something special. And they were really in it. I know they had a few injury battles throughout, especially in that first quarter. I think Larky went down a little early with a knee or a leg injury. But they were really on top of us, especially in that midfield. And I thought the way that the coach, Vossi, the coaches, it's not just one, a few of them in there, the way that they sort of looked at it and made the changes, I thought was really good.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a bit of a narrative going into the – well, there were a couple of narratives going into the game. One – had started, I think, last week around the Roosters in the pen being Harry and Charlie and, yeah, can they coexist? I think they probably didn't have their best performance as a duo last week. So the question marks came pretty quickly from the mainstream media. And then I think the other narrative that happened after the game is we probably didn't win the midfield battle again, but we found another way to win.
Yeah, I think you're right there. I think that third quarter was powerful. I think that was a real sort of like flex of muscle, being like, no, we've got options and we can find other ways to score. And I think it's obvious that, you know, we're trying to score more on turnover in general this year. So I think that's giving us a really good opportunity to use our strength, being the two big boys, but also some great legs. You know, you've got Motlop down there who's showing that he is what we hoped he would be, but, you know, you've got Corey Durden, who I think is actually super underrated for our forward line, the amount of presence that he gives about, you know, halfway through the second quarter, you can see teams started looking around a bit. Where is he? You know, where is he up? Is he behind me? Just that perceived pressure is something that you can only, you can't teach that kind of stuff. It comes from players putting in that hard work. And then obviously the back line again, just keep showing, you know, how much they've worked over the off season, how much the coaches have really worked through some structure. And I've got to give a shout out to Mitch McGovern. I thought that was his best game for our club.
McGovern, we've been saying his name all weekend on the channel.
Thought he was great. I think it was his best. It went 27 disposals by 82%. 11 intercepts. I thought he was. I thought he was a real difference maker, and his kicking, for the most part. And I think our defensive kicking is getting better. If you look at last year, I think there was a few times late in the year, and we can always be like, oh, don't bring up late in the year. But late in the year, our kicking was really poor coming out of defense, and really cost us a few, obviously some games as well. But it seems though they're finding their options. They're settling. You know, they know when to go fast. They know when to go slow, and they're finding the spread. It was numerous times I reckon it was in that third quarter where we were getting the ball off half back and they would go the opposite side and we'd have two or three numbers on them every time. So it was there. I've been there for all bar the GWS game. The spread's been there the whole time. They're actually starting to use it now, which is really good. Obviously, it's a plan and they haven't thought about it in terms of we should use it. Now they're starting to use it. We've got that leg speed and we're getting out.
Yeah. No, you mentioned the adjustment earlier. I was sitting on level 2 for the game, so I had a bit of height, and I was talking about this in my review. And if you cut the ground into 4 quadrants, North just flooded all numbers into one quadrant, and the game required us to kick our way out of it and use some run and carry and break the lines. And yeah, that third quarter, I think probably 4 or 5 minutes in, I think it all started one of the first few plays was a 1-2 with Doc and Adam Saad. We used Saad's run. But then McGovern started coming into the play. And he was doing this throughout the entire game, but just taking, you know, that kick, that 45-degree kick, using the corridor, opening up the ground. And I think once we made that adjustment in that second half, yeah, the floodgates, oh, it looked like they were opening. It really did. We probably just let it go a little bit in the last 5 or 6 minutes. But you saw us just have, I don't know, there's a different confidence about the group. Like, they knew that they were the better team on the night, and they sort of played like it, with flirting a little bit with danger, but also knowing deep down that they were the better side.
Yeah, look, I'll agree on the front that there's a bit of confidence. You know, there's a bit of that, we're really confident in our back line. You know, we're really confident with the structure that, you know, if a ball comes in deep, we have options. You know, we're going to have the handball at the back, or we're going to have the 45 kick, which is something we lost. Obviously, we didn't have that last year, in particular the second half. A lot of that structure fell, you know, it fell away. And look, to be honest, I think we took Gov off with 10 to go in the last, maybe 15 to go in the last. What happened? Like, we kind of just slowed down. And I think there were some tired bodies out there. I think there was certainly, you know, you could see there was a lot of, in that third quarter, we really went for it and we really pushed and went hard. But you took Gov off and it kind of just, slowly didn't get away from us. Obviously, we walked home with a win, but it was just, you know, obviously everyone kind of put the pens down and thought, oh, we've done enough today. So, you know, hopefully going forward, we can continue just with the killer instinct and, you know, put those 4 or 5 goals on, keep that 4 or 5 goal extra, as opposed to losing that, you know, 20 odd points. And obviously we all know how important percentages when it comes at the end of the year, but you know, the 4 points is still 4 points. And you know, I think people also need to remember that every 4 points now is a hell of a lot easier to deal with come the end of the year.
Yeah. I mean, look, this time last year we were winning games and it was new for us. You know, we've been waiting for consistent wins to come on the board. We haven't really started seasons very well. So in hindsight, the start of the year last year was the peak of us. And obviously the second half, we dipped a bit for numerous reasons. Whereas this year, you know, we're 3 wins and a draw. And I feel like there's still probably 15 to 25% improvement to come.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, I think the key to good teams, what do good teams do? They build, you know, they build structures, you know, like a Lego building. They go, oh, we've got the foundations, and oh, we can add a bit of this to our game, and we can add a bit of this today. And I think Paddy Cripps is a great example of that. You know, he was doing his thing, and then in the third quarter, he did his thing. You know, and he thought, I don't need to assert myself until we need to go. Now, some people might say, oh, that could be lazy, or that could be, you know, that could be detrimental. But at the end of the day, when he was asked upon it, I think when the team was asked, hey, we need to lift, they lifted and they responded, and he was leading from the front.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We flirted with it without letting it become a real danger, I thought. Yep. Yeah. Yep. So that's that. All right, let's talk about some storylines, whether it's from this game or, you know, now that we've got a month under our belt, what were some of the storylines for you guys playing at home about the game that maybe you want to touch on again, or maybe that haven't been covered enough? And then, yeah, you and I will go at it, James. What are some of the storylines you saw from round four with the team?
Oh, I think the importance of the Gov. You know, that is a... I think it's something we've missed. Obviously, we've missed someone that reads the ball so well. It's Liam Jones-esque in that ability to just like kill a ball. You know, Liam was really good at punching, where Gov will back himself into mark. And I know in the first two rounds he was a bit shaky with the hands, but he really lifted there. I think something special, and I think it's really hard to watch it if you're seeing it on TV, but if you're the ground, is watching Fish. Fish has a specific role that he's asked to do. Sometimes he's covering over the back, trying to, you know, getting the handball receive or kind of cleaning up in defense. Sometimes he's moved into the middle in open play to try and sort of open it up with a different angle. Obviously, he's a left footer as well. That's something that I know teams really thankful of having a left footer that can really distribute really well. I think there's a couple of names for me personally. I love Motlop's ability to cover the grounds. I think he always does it. He might not show it in the GPS, but he's always in the right spot, putting the pressure on. They're for me three names. Two names that probably don't get spoken about enough. And one of those names in particular is getting a bit of praise at the moment, being Motlop after that nice goal from the boundary. But for me, there's some of the storylines that I can see coming from our team, and they're not all A graders.
Yeah, it's fair. Any chance to talk about McGovern's game on the weekend, and I'm down for it.
Yeah, I'm in.
Yep. Big fan of McGovern's game. I think last week when I was doing the preview for the game, one of my focus areas was just get the ball in Adam Saad's hands, and I think we are starting to see a bit of a transition in trust for who exits our defensive 50. By foot. Traditionally, it's been Sam Doherty. He's just been the guy that's cleaning up and mopping up out there. I'm starting to see him better served in the midfield when we need to just get some territory. That type of kick that he makes, where it probably isn't looking exactly where it needs to be, is better served from what I'm seeing in the midfield as opposed to across half back. The pinpoint precision kicking, especially with Zach Williams out for the year, a lot of that responsibility falls on McGovern, Adam Saad, probably even Nick Newman to an extent as well. So I like the fact that we're starting to really make a better effort to get the ball into Saad's hands.
Yeah, I think you touched on something that's probably a little bit underrated, is if we're dump kicking from halfback, you know, because that's what happens, you know, it's a tight, you know, and Doherty gets his hands on it and it's a dump kick 45 out on a wing, we're probably not set up that well in that scenario. But if you're dump kicking from the center of the park, it's getting it inside 50. So, you're giving yourself an option going forward. And it's not a dump kick in the sense that it's just the pressure. You know, you're in the middle of the park or you're off half back, the pressure's on, you've got to get rid of it. And I think you're right. Like, if you're getting into the hands of Saad, which I'm still hoping that he'll kick it further sometimes. Sometimes I'm like, go further. Like, I'm like, you don't need to do the 10-meter that's going to bounce short or be short or be awkward, you know. And obviously he does a great job of staying on his feet, and I think people forget about that. He's I think, the best player in the comp to stay on his feet. I don't think there's any defender that stays on his feet more than Adam Saad in a one-on-one, let alone in a contested scenario. But yeah, all right, I would just ask him, just go a little longer, all right? Go there. When we go on woof, which I love doing, but we just hit that 50 meters as opposed to that 5 meters. I feel a bit silly every now and then.
It gets us going, doesn't it? It's an added layer into the crowd over the last season, about a season now we've had it. It just continues to add a little bit of a spark, a little bit of energy into the crowd. And if we get a couple of them in a quarter, it makes a difference. The crowd can give us a spark of energy that very few clubs have that access to.
Absolutely, we're really lucky that you know, we've got some good nicknames for some of the boys, and you know, obviously the Wolf and Moo as well. That was really showing over the Friday night game or Friday afternoon game. Got the moo going, which was great. We're starting to see, obviously, great when you hear Harry running. You know, Harry, everyone's all Harry when he's running up to the ball. So our crowd is amazing. You know, and it was an away game, but it definitely didn't feel like it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, maybe that's the other storyline. Just didn't. I don't think the club, our club, got a big enough thank you from the Roos. We really, really played our part in selling out that stadium on Friday. And I don't know. I just felt like we could have got a bit more of a kudos. Maybe it came behind closed doors.
I would like to think that it won't go unnoticed. And I'd like to think that, you know, there's a lot of buy-in from the players in the club. I think the club put on an exceptional you know, effort throughout the week to showcase what it means to the club and its fans. And I think that, you know, when it all comes into review next year, and obviously I think North Melbourne do make that decision or at least put some names forward, it wouldn't surprise me if we were there or thereabouts again.
Yeah. Well, when you're signed to fight the Blues, mate, it's a celebration.
I think so.
That's in the famous words of Conor McGregor.
Your bum, if you fight me, it's a celebration.
I would beat you.
When you sign to fight me, it's a celebration. You ring back home. You ring your wife. Baby, we done it. We're rich, baby. Conor McGregor made us rich.
Made us rich. He's so good. He's so good. That sells. It sells pay-per-view, does it not? Just sells out. Yeah, makes the money. Love that every time.
You need a crowd? You call Carlton, Collingwood. Or Richmond, yep. I think, at this stage.
Yeah. Yeah, go Richmond in there. Throw them in there. Yeah.
Let's do some votes. 3, 2, and 1. Oh. Those of you playing along at home, type in the chat your votes for the game. James and I will give ours. Mate, how did you give yours out?
Oh, tough. Do I love a big forward, though? I love a big forward. I love when they throw the weight around. I know that sounds boring and cliche, but I think Harry's been exceptional. People are really knocking Harry. The media, as you mentioned, the media get all about it. Two big roosters. Well, I think Harry's found it. I think Harry, he loves it under the lights at Harry's house at Marvel Stadium. He loves it there. But what he had 14, he had 14 and 4. Great clunks. And he's been doing it all year, to be fair. He's been marking and really closing out games for us. I thought he was fantastic. I had Gov at 2, best game for our club. 27.82%. I thought he was fantastic. And I had Charlie with 1. I mean, who kicks 6 and doesn't get a nudge? I don't know. I think he gets a shout. I had one little bonus point. Mm-hmm. You might not do it, but I'm throwing it to the coaches. If it was Vossi or whoever it was, just to make those slight changes at the half. They gave a rocket to him. I'm sure they did. But bringing Doherty in the middle, Hewitt off half back, and really releasing the boys and saying go for it, I think was great. You could really see a specific change from playing out on the wing to going aggressive. I think that was a real change in the second half, particularly in the third. And I think that really finished it off for us and got ourselves the points.
Yeah, no, well said. Well said. I gave Charlie the 3.
Yep.
I gave Harry the 2. I couldn't split them. I think either of them, you give them the 3 votes. And then McGovern, mate. this guy. I don't know about you, but you know, having done this on the channel for years now, you know, there's been a frustration around Gov, and I think it's born out of the fact that most, if not all of us who have been critical, know how good he can be. And I think we saw, you mentioned it earlier, that's the best game I've seen him play for the club, and he didn't even finish the game. He was so dominant. And what he gives us is really missed when he's not there. So my hope for Gov is I said this last night, it's just good health, consistent health for him and to get a good run at it. And if he's playing 18 to 20 games in the season, where I really feel like we're a 2 or 3 game better club overall in the scheme of things.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. I think, you know, you could pick, you know, half a dozen players at each club that make it can be a game winner or a game breaker or, you know, whatever you want to kind of call it. But that performance indicates you'd probably put him in your 6 and you go, right, if he's on, geez, we're a 2-3 goal team better, you know, we're 2 goal concede less, you know, that kind of discussion around Gov. And I mean, you know, as you said, good health. I'm hoping. I think we're all hoping good health for the Gov. But he really stepped up. I think it was his best for our club and could be one of the best he's played.
Yeah, certainly. Certainly. My little honourable mention will go to Adam Chera. Oof. I've been pointing him out for the last few weeks because I am seeing an evolution in his game. I'm seeing a really hardened edge to the way he plays. It is not something that I had as a feature of his game. He was a pretty solid tackler last year, I thought, for us. But his attack on the football this year, I think he's gone up a level and he's maybe not as prolific with the ball in terms of racking up the numbers over the last few weeks, but his attack on the contest, we've needed to add that type of player, the player that's willing to be fierce at the contest. And I think he's really added that to the group.
Well, there was a real story that came out of, I'm looking for his numbers on the weekend, but we had 18, which again, it wasn't a game dominated by big numbers amongst our mids. That's for sure. I mean, it was Cripps and then Fish for us. So that's probably an indicator. Cripps and Fish and then Gov. So our mids didn't have a whole lot of it. But I think there was a bit of a story that came out in the off-season, from the off-season, where Chera was put onto the, it was given the wrong bib colour. I think normally Cripper, Walshy and all the boys all got the orange bib or the starting midfield bib. And he was given the green bib, which is the opposite bib. I think he took it personally. That's from my understanding. He took that a little bit personally and probably realized, oh, okay, that's where you think of me. You don't think of me as someone you're going to constantly put in the A grade. I think he took that pretty full on. I think that, I've read that story somewhere. And I'd like to think you're right. I think there's a little bit more from Chera this year. And we brought him in for a little bit of class with his boot. I think that was something that we wanted. We wanted a deliverer. We wanted someone that was going to collect on the outside and deliver inside 50. And that's hard to do in this game, in this era, with the amount of speed in the game, the amount of pressure on the ball. But that was one thing that you could say, geez, it would be nice if he could be a little bit stronger in the tackle or a little bit harder around it. And I think you're right. He's hitting the nail on the head there. I think he's done that, and I think he's going to continue improving that.
Yeah, I think now time to get excited when Walsh comes back, because that's happening real soon. So real curious to see that addition to the midfield mix with what we already have, you know.
Well, he's been pacing. I don't know if you know, he's pacing the walls of Icon Park. He's up and down the windows. He's like a caged lion. I think, as we all know, he's been putting his hand up for weeks and saying, it's my time. But I think we've learnt from previous eras, or years, if you get him in too early, they're not quite right. And I think last year was an indication. While she probably wasn't right 100% for the first 3 weeks that he came back, he was not himself. He was doing his 110%. He was putting in his absolute 110%, but he wasn't fit after his injury, which, 39-day turnaround? I don't blame him. But I think this year they've gone, right, we're not losing. I think if we were 1-2, or we were in a different situation, they might have said, right, we have to win. Like we have to throw caution in the wind. This is a must win. But we're in a position where we don't have to rush players back, which is a rarity for us, I think.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There is already something that is noticeably there, and that is the management of the players. Now, I know Hewitt's probably playing with some pain, not quite the same. Kennedy, he's missed two games now. Now, I don't know the severity of what's going on with him. Initially, I think it was diagnosed as soreness, just didn't pull up right, test for this week, that kind of thing. So I think he'll be right for this week. So this is also part of the whole 15 to 25% thing. Like, we're not great as a midfield group this year so far, but we know we've got levels to go. So now that you add arguably your best midfielder, if not your second best, into the mix, you add another guy in Matt Kennedy who, very underrated. Something good things happen when he plays for us.
Well, he's a forward target. I think he's forward of the ball target, which is, we've got Cripper, and that's kind of it. When you talk about our mids, right? Like, we talk about our direct mids, you got Cripper who go forward, but while she's not really taking a contested one-on-one mark, it's not really, he's not that build. That's not who he is. Chera's not really going to go there. You know, Doc's, I probably wouldn't throw him at half forward. But you go, oh, Kennedy, well, that's replayed. He played there for, you know, he played there for a long time. He knows where the goals are. I think the last time Kennedy played, what was it, round two? Mm-hmm. We had 11 or 7, I think it was 7 goal assists, you know, or goal involvements, score involvements, which is a part of the chain, right? You're a part of a scoring chain, which is, you know, important for our now turnover scoring game. We're about turnover. We're not about scoring from clearance anymore, which will come. I think you can always fix that one. I think that one's fixable. But scoring from turnover requires an entire restructure of how you play. And the fact that we're able to turn that number around in the space of 3 or 4 months, essentially, we're from one of the worst teams of scoring from turnover to one of the best, gives us a really good opportunity to fix the clearance game and then go from there.
Yeah. No, well said. Well said. Ollie, with the $50 donation. Thank you very much, mate. Happy with that on a all Monday night.
Aboard that. Happy hello. That. You. Do you dance?
Hello and welcome.
No shoeies? No? That's right.
We're working on it. We're working okay. on it. I've got some Kool-Aid lying around, but I'm very cautious of when to use it. I say that and I've already poured one after round two, so there's that.
You got early. That's all right.
Yeah, I went early, but it was a Geelong game and we hadn't beaten them properly in a while, so I went for it.
Yep.
Now, let's talk as we wrap up round four. We're not going to wrap up until we talk about Good Friday. And this is where I really want to dive into your perspective and your experience, because this is, it's first of all, special occasion, the Friday, special cause. But also for you, it's been a few weeks.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a really special time. I think it's a really special time, and being in Victoria, I think Melbourne's the greatest city on earth. I think you could tell me and send me to millions of places around the world, and I'll still tell you Melbourne's the greatest. And I, you know, we had a really tough few years there. Not only as a Carlton fan, but being in Melbourne. And the way that the community just rallies around one another is just absolutely amazing. And we saw that not only on Good Friday at the game with the sellout crowd and, you know, the reverse guard of honour, which I get tingles thinking about, but just the way the community got around it and you know, the people, yeah, we were there for footy and all that, but it was there for a bigger cause. It's greater than football at that stage. Yeah. I think it really is. And it was, I would call it a privilege to be a part of the game. I think, you know, I think as Carlton fans, you should be proud. You should feel privileged. You know, we should feel privileged, you know, to have been invited along. I know it was supposed to be our game. I know it was supposed to be our game originally, but Blues fans that went along, Blues fans that watched along, you should be so proud, because we should be the number one team on that sheet next year for this game, and it should be ours again for a long time to come. Yeah, it was bloody special.
Yeah. And this, I mean, we've spoken about the on-field efforts of the Carlton players and the club in general. There are some off-field three votes that I'd like to give out. Firstly, our cheer squad did a phenomenal job in raising $12,000 for the Good Friday appeal. And then, mate, you, $40,000? Is that right?
$40,000 on the money. So we raised $40,000 over the last 30 or so days for the Good Friday appeal. And in particular, two specific programs. So one, the CHIPS program. So it's a chronic illness peer support program, which is a program for young people between the ages of 12 and 25 with chronic illness who usually are patients of the hospital. It gives them a great, safe support network. It supports their families. You know, I was not only a patient at the RCH, but I was also a participant of that program. And I'm back there now volunteering. So I have a lot of love for that program. And the other one is the Melbourne Mental Health Campus strategy. So there's three or four different hospitals and organizations working together to give not only the support to the young people and the kids, obviously, with their diagnosis, rehabilitation, all that kind of stuff, but it's the families. And people forget about the family sometimes. People can forget that, you know, there's usually a few faces that are behind the one in the bed that are there supporting at all hours of the day. you know, cleaning up, whatever they're doing, taking them in, picking them up, dropping off meds, getting the meds, all-nighters, all that kind of stuff. So to be a part of, you know, raising $40,000, and again, you mentioned the cheer squad who just went absolutely above and beyond to help raise that money was just absurd. It's incredible. I think it's absolutely incredible. I run out of words sometimes. It's amazing.
Yeah, no, our cheer squad are special. They've taken the concept of cheer squad and really evolved it into something so much more than just a bay where we're loud and we start chants and things like that. It's become a real mission of togetherness and inclusivity. It's an honor to have the best one in the league.
I think so. I think you're right. I think it's the best one in the league. And I think, so I was, Nick from the cheer squad invited me along last week. And we were going to do a bit of Good Friday promo, you know, and say, oh, we're doing a raffle and stuff. But I got distracted by the stories of others. And I wanted to know their stories and how they became a cheer squad member, how they became a Carlton fan. You know, did they have to have a clear memory of that? And, you know, you have parents there with their kids, you know, and they want their kids to be a part of the cheer squad, you know, and they want to continue that tradition in their family. So unfortunately Nick didn't get half the promo we wanted to get done, but it was more so I was just engrossed, you know, in those stories. And I think Debbie shared her story on the Carlton cheer squad page. But the Royal Children's Hospital is no stranger, I think, to anybody, especially if you live in Victoria. Somebody knows somebody, you know. And for me, it's me. It's a part of my family history. It's a part of my friends. My life continues to be so. And it's just so important. And I just think, again, it's a privilege to be the game that we did. It really is.
Mm. Yeah. No, well said. So what happens... What happened? Like, I mean, you are really, you've really taken on, you're a real ambassador now for the appeal. And it's, you know, we need to acknowledge what you've done as well. Cause there's a real evolution for you here that's happened.
Yeah. So this is my third year raising money. So, for the Good Friday appeal. So, I stream, that's my thing. I stream on Twitch. And the first year we'll do a stream and we'll see what happens. And I think we ended up on like 26,500 or 27,000. It was insane. Like, it was just like, oh, this is crazy. And then last year we did it again and we topped it. I think we went to 27,500 or something like that. And then this year I feel like I wouldn't be doing, you know, my duty if I didn't ask some people if they'd be keen to do something. Obviously, you know, and there might be some people in the chat that know that I did some stuff with the Carlton Footy Club over lockdown. So we played some games with the boys. We had Fish on there. We had Setters. We had Walshy. It was great getting Walshy and Setters in the same, because they lived in the same house. So when Walshy scored, he ran over and jumped on Setters' head. It was a whole bunch of fun. We did that and, you know, I sort of said, you know, thanks, all that kind of stuff. But they always wanted to support. They'd always give us a signed jersey to give away or something like that for the appeal. But I thought, you know, what can we do this year? So I actually reached out to the cheer squad first. I said, what would you do? What can we do? And, you know, they jumped on it straight away and, you know, did the raffle for the signed ball, which, again, you mentioned it already, but $12,000, like $12,000 in 4 or 5 days. My understanding was, so I actually presented a check at the telethon, right? So I'm at the telethon. I get my number. I say, the cheer squad, can you just tell me what you're up to? They go, we're up to $8,000. We'll just call it $8,000 because we're at the game and we'll see what happens, right? So we write, we add it into the calculation, 36,500. I get a message from Nick. Hey, man, there is people handing over 20s and 50s, hand over fist. They're 40 deep in a line. I reckon we're going to hit 12K. And they did. You know, and it's a testament to not only the fans, you know, there was North Melbourne fans as well getting in that, but it's a testament to the cheer squad. And they're incredible. They're incredible work behind the scenes to really kind of get the family around it. They reached out to players, Mark Murphy, Gibbs, Cooter. Like, these guys were all sharing it. Current players were sharing it. And it was just, just speechless. So now I now know what it feels like, what a Carlton, what a football club is. You know, I feel like we've got that. Like, I now know that. I know what that feels like now. And, you know, I thought I knew, but now I do. So thank you to everyone that did get a part of that. It was just amazing. So hopefully if we get it next year, we can go bigger and better and even more, I reckon.
I think we can. I think we can put a few more minds together and see what we can achieve.
I think so. I mean, I don't know if you want me to go into it a little bit more, but...
Please, please do. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've got the cheer squad and the cheer squad kind of went with their raffle and then I get a text on maybe Tuesday or Wednesday from the club saying, hey, would you come down and to the captain's run. So for those that don't know, the captain's run was held on the Thursday morning. And the only people that were really allowed to go was patients or family members of the Royal Children's Hospital and some staff. So really special, really, really special. Greg Williams came over and said hello to everyone, got some of the boys involved. Some of the boys got involved in some of the little drills. So they were doing some of the drills and they were handballing off to some of the kids. And I'm just sitting there like, this is how great is this? And then we went outside and they did some kicking drills. And they were just doing some other, goal kicking drills. And then the boys came around, signed some footies, handed them over, got some photos. And then had to wait about half an hour. Vossi had to have a meeting, apparently. I don't know what's more important than the Good Friday appeal. But Vossi had a meeting with the team. And then I had the privilege of sitting with Gov for about half an hour. And we just kind of, we went through that video, which you might have seen on the Carlton website, talking about the Good Friday appeal, what it means to us, but what it meant to him and the club. And, that really turned into something. You know, that really, it was a little bit more than I thought it would. I just thought, oh, we'll just, we'll go along, say hi to the boys and thanks for having us. And then it turned into that. So it was really special. And then very fortunately on the night, so we'd be working with the Good Friday Appeal and North Melbourne. So we actually ended up getting a corporate box for some of the young people from the Chronic Illness Peer Support Program, so the CHIPS program. We got a box for them, got a corporate box. And food and drink all catered, which was magnificent. Some of them have never been to a game before. They got to go and watch a great game of footy, and some of them got to be in the part of the Guard of Honour, which was just, again, spine-tingling stuff. When you've got these players that play hundreds of games, they put their body line on every week, and they're the ones that are clapping these young people and their families and staff through. Mate, just special, just so special. And, again, a privilege to be just a small cog in that little wheel, I think.
Yeah, wow. What an experience for you.
What a couple of weeks. we had the media stuff with the AFL and they stole our seats. We had that crazy media stuff.
Are we able to talk about that?
Yeah, you can talk about it. Absolutely. Do you want to talk about it? Is it of interest?
Yeah. Like, no, I think so. Yeah, I think it's important. I think it's, I remember, I'll be honest with you, when I saw it, I was like, I had nothing. I didn't know how to respond.
Mm.
It was so shocking to me. I was like I almost, it was something that I had never really seen before and something that I can't relate to. I was like, I don't know how to react to this. So
yeah,
for those watching at home, maybe paint the picture of what the last few weeks was.
Yeah. So round one rocks up. Exciting, 90,000 or whatever it ended up being at the G. So my dad's a full-time wheelchair user, so permanently uses a wheelchair. I use a wheelchair when I leave the house, so just for safety. And I'm happy to talk about it. So I have osteogenesis imperfecta, otherwise known as brittle bones. So my bones break super duper easy. I've sneezed and broke ribs, broke my elbow sneezing. Like, I've probably broken 40, 50 bones, plenty of surgeries, all that kind of stuff. So it's a safety precaution for me, especially in large crowds. you've got people that aren't paying attention, you know, they'll drop their beer and not say anything, and there's liquid all over the floor and all that kind of stuff. So usually my dad and I will go. I'm in my chair anyway. He's in his chair. We normally just grab the tickets that we can get, and we normally make our way up to level four. You know, usually there's space there. It's never really full up there on level four, especially in the wheelchair bays. And even sometimes media do take one of the two bays. But unfortunately, the media took both of the bays, which is I've never seen it before where they take both. Sometimes they take one, but this was both. But which is kind of funny. Like, we never complained about the one, but we kind of thought afterwards, why didn't we? Like, this is bullshit. Why? Like, they should never be there anyway. And I think you're right. It's so interesting because there's so many, like, you didn't know how to react. Then there was people like, well, you never had tickets for that spot. Yeah, because they were never for sale. Like, there was those tickets were actually removed from sale. They were never actually available for sale, which is kind of disgusting if you think about, you know, if you think about it, for the wheelchair spots. So it was a real sort of shock. But the funny thing about it was I was live on Twitch. So I'm out the front, right? Like, I'm out the front. We're just like, we're rolling down Birriyang Ma, me and my mate. You know, we're just chatting, you know, oh, how good's Melbourne, you know, big game tonight, whatever. We rock into the grounds. We get up the top. I'm like, oh, shit, how great's this? Jonathan Brown and Buckley and all this kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden I go, oh, shit, there's no seats for us. So it was all kind of played out live, which was really funny in hindsight. Wow. I was like, I've never done this before and I've never had this experience before. We've really come to, you know, that sort of night. It kind of blew up on socials. You saw that. Some people may have seen that. It really blew up. The MCG were fantastic. Like, the MCG, I've got to give them credit. They do a lot of work for accessible requirements at the MCG. They do a hell of a lot of great stuff. They have the G train, which picks people up from Richmond and Jolimont, I think it is. And that's before and after the game that require access help getting to and from the station. Anyone can get on it and go. They have the Sunflower Initiative. So there's people that have an invisible illness but need assistance. They can grab a lanyard at every game. You know, they do some amazing stuff. They have sensory rooms now. You know, some really amazing stuff. But this is the one that they just hadn't seen it. And it got them wrong. So it really blew up. The MCG came and dealt with us really quickly. They came and found us and moved us to a place where we were told there wasn't seating, but there was. So it was radio silence from the AFL for 4 days. So we had no communication from the AFL, nothing from Fox Footy, nothing from 7 AFL. Like, no one talked to us. Journos were in our DMs telling us, it's our fault. Journos were spinning it on us. Like, John Ralph tweeted about it and I was ropeable. I hate the guy and I hate him more. Like, it was just disgusting. Like, you can find us, mate. You know where we are. But we had journos basically spinning it. Oh, if you had have bought the tickets, they would have moved you elsewhere. It's like, mate, you just don't take the seats. Like, you don't remove the seats. So it was a really eye-opening little crack into the world of the AFL and how they do their journo stuff and how they try and cover stories up or try and spin them in directions that take it away from the blame of themselves, which good businesses do. That's what good organizations do. They put their spin on. But at the end of the day, the AFL took us to AFL House. We were invited to AFL House. Funny story, I get to AFL House. Great story. I go, can I use the toilet? Thinking, how good's this? Like, I'm going to, like, something, you know, they're going to have storage in there or something. You know, like, it'll be terrible. Go in there. The toilet seat's broken. I'm like, this is a great start to accessibility with the AFL. But to their credit, the broadcasting and scheduling team said we will never use them going forward at any stadium ever again. They will never be used anywhere around Australia or anywhere the game's played, which is fantastic. And the MCG turned around and said, we will never allow anyone to use it bar those that actually require it for any MCG event. So it was a great start. Not a great start. We got a great result. But that was the start of our month. That was the 30 days right there. So it's been a really long, challenging up and down month, which resulted in, you know, a fantastic result.
Yeah. Mate, thank you for sharing, firstly. It's really special, I find, any time I can talk to someone who can give me a perspective that I have not considered. So thank you very much for sharing. I think, you know, those watching at home as well will, you know, there'll be a lot watching that will listen to that and just try and perceive that from, you know, their lens. And yeah, I really think it's an important story to share. So I do thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you for letting me share it. I think that's the thing, is there's people that want to hear a story, but having a platform to share it. And, you know, there's some great baggers people in here. Pommy actually sent me a message, said there's pressure on me tonight, which I thought was a bit stiff, but appreciate that, mate. You know, but having a platform like this to share it. And I'm one of just many. There's thousands of great stories out there, and I'm just very fortunate to be on here tonight and be able to share mine. But surely there's something else you want to talk about, not just me and my poofy head.
No, I want to talk about you. I did put the link to your Twitch in the chat.
Oh, no.
So Pommy also tells me, and I'm aware because I've seen some of your FIFA clip, but Pommy tells me you're the real deal on FIFA. Yeah. So for those who haven't watched you play, it's time.
I think if you'd like to watch me play, you can. And look, I might be all right at the game. I'll gladly give you a run anytime. If you'd like to have a game sometime, I'm sure we can make it happen. But yeah, with a bit of FIFA, a bit of Halo, a bit of Call of Duty, and the new AFL game coming out in May. It got delayed. So it's out in May. I'm actually gonna have someone that might be able to give us a hand so we can do some content around it, I hope. Something I like AFL it. Related.
I like it. I like it. Keep us in the loop.
We'll see what we can do.
Let's talk a bit about round five. We'll move on to Adelaide. It's Gather Round. It's the first of its kind. Every game this week will be played in Adelaide. Starting with Thursday night, it's the Blues and the Crows at Adelaide Oval in... I don't know. I'm not as scared of this as what I was even 7 days ago. What about you?
First and foremost, it's a sellout, which is... a testament. I don't know if you mentioned that. Sorry, I just blanked for a moment there. But sellout crowd at Adelaide Oval, if I'm right. If I'm wrong, correct me. But how bloody good is that? Baggers fans traveling. Obviously, there'll be lots of Adelaide fans as well. But yeah, sellout crowd now Thursday night. Another bloody Thursday night, which I must admit, I'm getting a bit sick of. But I think it's a bit they say they're rewarding the fans with the Thursday night. I don't know which fans they're rewarding, but I'll, you know what, whatever, we'll take it. I think it's actually a bit of a demon game for us. This is a game that really put us on the slippery slope last year. The same grounds, slightly different situation, obviously. We're at the start of the season compared to the end of it. But there's some demons. There'll be some chips on the shoulders for some of those boys that really didn't turn up. And really, you know, obviously we had some injuries. We had problems. There was a few different issues. But this is an opportunity to see our growth in the space of 6 months. You know, we ended the season poorly there and started there. But we're starting the season well. Can we turn that around? What does that look like for us?
Yeah. So I watched Adelaide play the Dockers on the weekend, and I watched it really closely. And Adelaide were very impressive. Without wanting to be too disrespectful to Fremantle, I actually thought they played the game right into Adelaide's hands. And upon reflection of that game, I came out of that saying to myself, well, we're not in as good a form as a midfield group as what we can be. And I think that'll be an improvement this year. But our tools down back and our tools up forward, we have all the minerals to get this job done on Thursday. Now, Adelaide play with a different confidence over there. Very hard at it. Very much in your face. They get a bit of a spike because of the home ground advantage. They've played there a couple times already this season. They clearly play better footy there. So I think they will challenge us, and they will challenge us seriously. But this is a great opportunity for us to go there, get a win. I think it'll really get us up and about if we get this one over the line.
Yeah, I think that we've been really fortunate so far with injuries most of the way through. Most of them just little niggles or corkies or something like that. we can hopefully we can take the 4 points, come home, have a bit of a break. I think we'll be on an extra long, I think we've got a little bit of extra, couple extra days on the return. I must admit, their forward line is working very well at the moment. They've got a really smooth moving forward line. You know, their system going forward of the ball is solid. I think Fremantle are far worse than we anticipated. I think most fans thought Fremantle will be not there and thereabouts, but they won't be dropping off the cliff. But right now, they look lost. They look really, really lost. Some of that structure. Fife is obviously, that's a really big talking point about that game and where Fife is going forward. I don't think you can look into that last game as well as some are. Some are saying, oh, that, you know, how good were Adelaide, yada, yada, yada. I think that's early season stuff. I think if we turn it around and get the win this week in Adelaide, that's a big, as you said, boost of confidence. Come home after, and winning away is hard. Like, winning football is hard, right? Like, two teams rock up, balls can bounce any which direction, structures go wrong, right, left and centre, and you can still find a way to win. And that's what we've done so far, right? We've found a way to win. Travelling makes that really bloody hard. going away to, you know, I think of you know, Optus Stadium in WA, I don't want to play anyone over there, to be honest. Like, even though we've actually got a half-decent record over there at the moment, I still don't want to go over there. Like, that's, Jesus, man. Like, that's a tough game. So hopefully we go there, get the 4 points, come home, and we play, what, St. Kilda at Marvel? Oh, that'd be a cooking game. That's a big game at Marvel.
North Melbourne, Adelaide and St. Kilda have traditionally just been those teams.
Yep.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, they've just been those teams that just on any given they just trouble us. They just give us a little bit. Adelaide, we've probably had some good success over, particularly when they've played in Melbourne.
Yes.
Not in Adelaide, but these three teams are ones that over the last as early as, you know, last year and the year before, really just given us a bit of trouble. And the thing about going away is, like, just get the win. I don't care what it looks like. Just get the win and come home with the 4 points.
Yeah. I think the away factor gets lost very quickly sometimes. You know, you're against the crowd. You're not sleeping in your bed. You know, you've just flown over the day before, or, you know, whatever that looks like. You know, you're probably sleeping on the floor because you're like Nick Nat Newey and you're too tall and you can't fit in the bed. You know, like there's a whole lot of different things. Maybe they're like in the soccer, they do, they play some fireworks out the front so you don't sleep the night before. You know, it's just a whole different thing, and you're not playing at your ground. You're not comfortable there. You don't know it. So if you find the win, you bring it home, it's a big boost, because you can't just rely on winning in Melbourne. It doesn't work like that. You can't win. We're fortunate that we're a Melbourne team, because we play, you know, if we're going to play finals, you know, you've got to win at the G, right? Like, that's, you just have to do it. But, you know, you've got to win everywhere. And Adelaide Oval, we haven't won there yet.
No.
That's an important one for us.
Yeah. Let's get into team selection. We're going to talk about Harry in a moment, because actually, you know what? We'll start with Harry. So
yeah, go for it.
As it stands in this moment right now, he's been charged with striking by the MRO. We've all seen the footage, the strike on Harry Sheezel. The collision was graded as careless, medium impact, and high contact, with a 1 week suspension offered. We have until tomorrow, 11 a.m., to decide whether or not we're going to appeal to the tribunal. Now, first and foremost, if we decide to appeal, we'll be live here. James, I don't know if you saw, we did the appeal stream last year.
That would be amazing.
Four hours and 45 minutes waiting for Patrick Cripps to get off. It was unbelievable.
That's content with the capital K. Like, that's actually content.
It was incredible. So if we go to the tribunal, rest, you bet your ass we'll be here on stream just following the tweet updates. We need, basically, similar to last week with Akers, we need to prove that it was low impact, which... I understand what the league are trying to do with protecting the head and being really cautious, you know, for the future. But this incident for me is just a clumsy incident. It's a free kick against. If you want to give him a little bit more of a reprimand, yeah, you can give him a fine. But I don't really think he put all his force into the hit. And I just don't see how it's medium impact when Sheasel played on.
Yeah, dominated. He dominated. And again, can we just nods to Sheasel, but also Clarko to actually fit him in and getting it going? Like, that's he's playing, and I mean, people are going on about Dacos at the moment, but Sheasel for North Melbourne is like key. This kid is a kid. You know, he really is a kid. You know, he's 18. You know, and he's playing. I can't remember what I was doing at 18, but I'm telling you, there's no way in hell would I be able to be that professional and that good at something at 18. No way. You try not to talk about the opposition too much, but I just think that he is superb. To be honest, I think it's low impact. I do think the impact is low. And I think there's another incident that they're going to fight it with. I think they're going to challenge it. First and foremost, you have to appeal it. I don't think you can't appeal it. It doesn't go to 2 weeks. It's not going to go up. Like, that's how I perceive it. It can't go up because then you're saying it's, what's the wording? You've got low, medium, and high impact. Is that the grading?
Yeah.
You wouldn't call it high impact because he got up. So you're not going to lose ground in that aspect, I wouldn't think. Mm-hmm. You have to challenge that it's low because he got straight up. He bounced up and he played on, which again, shouldn't, I don't think the injury or the lack of injury should be the determining factor of a tribunal case. But he did get up. And away he goes. It was clumsy. It was stupid. It's not necessary. We don't need it, Harry. We don't need it, anyone. We don't need this. We don't need these questions going to selection week. And believe it or not, by the time that gets dealt with, we're 24 hours before the game.
Exactly.
We're actually on a time crunch at that point. So I actually don't think I don't think it changes a hell of a lot in terms of our structure. Harry clunks lots of marks. There's not a lot of players that can do that. But the idea of our structure, Tom goes there, Jack goes there, Charlie plays a little bit further up to give the room. There's options, right? It doesn't mean it's like for like. It's definitely not like for like. Lemmy, I think the Lemmings. Oh, Lemmy, like for like. Lemmy might get a shout. I don't think he will, but you never know. I think you have to fight it. If it doesn't come down, so be it. But that's the line. That's where Vossi can turn around. The coaches turn around and say, why do this? You've just, imagine if we lose by a kick next week and we've had no Harry.
Mm.
Like, he can turn around and say, you can say you lose, right? Because the 22 players on the field or the 18 on the field, but you'd probably say you'd probably get one from Harry, and that's a different game, different result. So I really hope that we do get it down to a fine or it's, kicked out. But it's a learning point. I'd rather it now than in round 17, 18, 19 when it's getting really hot and a learning curve.
That's fair. So those of you playing along at home, let us know what your changes would be for this week. So what do we know right now? Well, I'm pretty sure we know that Akers, Walsh and Kennedy will be available. I think that's the case. So we'll park Harry to the side for a moment because we just don't know what's going to happen. And you're right. I don't like the fact that the limited preparation I just feel like it's going to impact the preparation of the group a little bit, not knowing whether he's going to play or not, but whatever, we'll deal with that. So Walsh, Kennedy, Akers, I dare say if they're fit and ready, that they would be picked. So the question is, who makes way?
Yep. So who was in for Akers last week? Was it LOB?
Well, Lob came in off, out of being the sub. Honey came in this week on the Friday.
Yep.
And I think the other one, well, that's it because Walsh hasn't played all season. So that's essentially who we've lost for Akers and Kennedy.
Yeah. Well, you would say that, you would say LOB comes out and you'd say that Honey comes out.
Mm-hmm.
I think Akers has definitely proved that we've needed a winger for 3 years and we got one. Finally, we got one. Kennedy, I think if we lose Harry, Kennedy is an option forward. Mm. Again, it's that body. He's this big boy. He knows where the goals are. He can really make that interchange. Ed Curnow was just thrown in the chat. I just saw an Ed Curnow out potentially. I think people really continue to underrate what Ed does for the team. I think people really sleep on Ed's work rate and what Ed can bring to the table. Ed can clamp a player out of a game. If someone's getting off the chain, Ed is the best player for that. I really think Ed can do it. And that doesn't make it any easier for us. I wouldn't want Ed out unless they said it's strategic. You know, like they say, we need to give him a rest. Is he 32? Like, I'm not saying every player needs a rest, but if Ed's not 100% for whatever reason, maybe that's, you know, another option. Another option was Kemp in for Gov out, and then Kemp goes forward if we lose Harry. That was another, just depending on Gov, and I'm understanding that Gov is fine, but I think that was just kind of another magnet being thrown around there. I just don't know who you go, Walsh in for who. Like, who do you take Ed? But then Ed's got to get back in at some stage. He's not done anything wrong.
Yeah. I always felt with Ed in the side, he was there because Walsh was out. And I feel like Cripps, Hewitt, Chera, Kennedy, Walsh are our guys.
Yep.
If Ed is to play amongst those five, then I don't know where he fits, because I think Akers will come into the mix being on the wing. Holland's for me on the other wing, no problem. So from what I saw, and it's tough, Pommy and I spoke about it on the ratings live stream yesterday, like, to take out Honey after a game is tough, but also we're just not at that point anymore where you just keep playing blokes because it's the nice thing to do, and, you know, got to blood the kids and
we did that enough.
We're here to win a flag this year. We're here to win a flag this year. So that's where I'm a little bit unsure of. But yeah, I think if I was to guess right now, assuming Harry gets off and all of that, but I think Lockie O would come out. I think Honey would come out, and then potentially Ed. And then there's the sub. And then, I mean, does Jack Carroll stay as the sub? Do you bring in Binsey, who had a really good game in the VFL? Like, it's great. It's great that we've got these options, you know?
It's a rarity for us, and it has been for a long time, to have options. I think someone mentioned Ed as the sub. I think that's actually a really good shout. It gives an option, you know, if we're being run in the middle, or if we need someone that's going to lock down a halfback, like, you know, he can go half forward and shut a halfback down. That's, you know, potentially running the show. I don't think Ed would have a problem with that either. Some players might be like, yeah, the sub, you know, whatever, right? I think Ed's one of those people who's just happy to get on the plane, to be honest. You need people like that. You need people that'll take the, you know, I think last week was a great one where Ed bumped a player so Doc could get the ball. And it's like, I don't know, I think it was in the third. It was early in the third. And I was like, Spike doesn't care about the stats. He doesn't, like, you need players that don't care about what it looks like. He just cares about results. So get him in the sub vest. Get him on halfway through the third. He'll do what the other mids can do, and he'll run the whole game.
Yeah. All right. We're going to move on because we're a little over time.
We were worried about this.
I knew it would happen, but that's okay. So just to recap what's coming up, because it's a shortened week. Now, the Almost Blues Brothers will be live straight after this. So stay tuned on the channel. As soon as we end this broadcast, the boys will begin. Tomorrow night, the Jumper Punch will go ahead at 7 p.m. I've got a little promo that I'll play now, so stand by for that.
I've been asked to do a promo for these two human beings for their show, The Jumper Punch. It's on a Tuesday at 7 p.m. I'll be on it. I'll be honest with you. I won't watch it because I'm on it, but you should watch it because I'm on it, and a whole host of other past players who are now turning 50, 60, 70, 80. We're not going to be here for much longer. Exactly. So this is the promo saying, please watch before we're done, as in 6 feet under. It'd mean a lot to us. Please watch.
Yes, sir.
Sorry, I'm just raving on there. Like, sorry, I was just really in the mood.
We had Sticks last week, Glenn Manton this week. So the boys will be on at 7 p.m. tomorrow night on the channel. And then Wednesday, we cram in the live teams show. here yeah. as teams are selected. The rest will obviously be played at 7 or 8 p.m. as well. We'll figure that out. The besties will launch on Wednesday at 5 p.m. And then Thursday, back into it. Watch along, fan cams. It's all happening.
When's the Harry court tribunal time?
We're gonna have to fit that in. I think tomorrow. Got to get a review, a preview out, and the appeal stream. But we're gonna figure it out. That's what we're gonna do.
I will say, if you are a Carlton Cheer Squad member, get down there tomorrow night. Get down there, banner making, support the crew. They've got a big trip ahead. So if you are a Cheer Squad member, make sure you head down to Clady's at the club tomorrow. So make sure you do that. That's my little plug and shout out. They're supporting me. The least I can do is give them a little love because they do a great job every week, those crew.
Yeah, they do. They do. Mate, thank you so much for your time. Thanks for being here.
How bloody good. About time. I thought I'm never going to get invited to this place and I'll never get back on. What are we doing? But we're here now and I appreciate it, mate. It's been an honor. And thanks to everyone tuning in as well. And make sure, hey, just to help with Terry here, make sure you hit the like button on the stream. He might hate that I'm plugging this, but this is what I do. All right. You got to hit the like button, guys. We've got to get the man a 50 plus. We're on 41 right now. I don't think he's turning off the stream until we get to 50, which by the way, might actually hinder people from pressing the button. They want it all night, but, do it, support the channel, get involved. Every bit of support around the Blue Broad team and Terry here is fantastic. Thank you, Tez. I really appreciate that, mate. And I will gladly accept any invitation going forward. If you ever actually want me on the show again,
mate, we'd love to have you on the channel more. We would love to have you on, so we'll definitely be in touch. Thanks for the plug. We're trying to get to 10k subscribers. We're at 9148 right now, so hopefully a few more months and we get there, and that'll be a special. No, Angus, I will not be coming over to Adelaide. I will be home watching from my living room. Fan cams will happen straight after the game, and yeah, we will go from there. Ladies and gents, thanks for tuning in. See you shortly with the Almost Blues Brothers. Cripsy, you're a star, mate. Thank you, and go Blues.
Says, go Blues.